It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Health providers are notifying patients in nearly two dozen states, including Illinois and Indiana, that routine steroid injections they received for back pain in recent months may have been contaminated with deadly fungal meningitis. The Food and Drug Administration is urging physicians not to use any products at all from the Massachusetts pharmacy that supplied the steroid, suspected of causing a meningitis outbreak that sickened 35 people in six states and led to five deaths. A second case has been reported in Indiana. OSMC Surgery Center CEO Don Hammond says test results received this morning confirmed that one of the Elkhart Clinic's patients had contracted the rare illness that's tied to that widening U.S. outbreak. Indiana State Department of Health spokesman Ken Severson says there are two confirmed cases in Indiana but would not disclose the locations. The deadline to register to vote in Illinois is next Tuesday. In Champaign County, people can register at the county clerk's office or on the office's website. County Clerk Gordy Holton says registration numbers are higher than ever.
We're getting very, very close to 135,000 registered voters in Champaign County right now. If we're not at that number today, I expect we'll be at that number by the time we get done processing everything for this election. And that is 10 or 12,000 voters higher than we have ever been in terms of voter registration in Champaign County.
People who have changed their name or address must update their registration information in order to vote. Early voting begins October 22nd, and people can already vote by absentee ballot. The Illinois Supreme Court has reversed a decades-old ruling that could make it easier for people with disabilities to get divorced. Brian Mackey has more.
The Carbons, Jan and Marcia, were married in 1984. In the mid-90s, a serious car accident left Marcia totally disabled. Jan cared for his wife for 7 years until his own Parkinson's disease made that difficult. Marcia went to Ohio to live with her daughter, who became her legal guardian. After a few years, Jan and Marcia's daughter agreed to end the marriage, but Jan changed his mind. That meant Marcia's case had to be dismissed based on a Supreme Court decision from the 1980s. It said only an actual party to a marriage could seek a divorce, not a legal guardian on behalf of a disabled person. Earlier this year, Marcia's lawyer Leslie Rosen told the justices that's
outdated, it's unfair, and it's particularly unfair in this case.
The Supreme Court agreed, noting the guardians already have the power to make even more personal decisions on behalf of their wards, like forcing someone to be sterilized or pulling the plug on life support. The court says either the guardian can act in the best interests of the ward for all personal matters or for none at all. I'm Brian Mackey.
Danville's only synagogue will close later this month, but its congregation will continue to meet. Congregation Israel says it will close the converted church on the north side of Danville that has been its home for the last 20 years. Congregation President Neil Ehrlich says that with only about 20 people in the congregation, they can no longer afford to maintain the building. Instead, he says Congregation Israel will meet in office space donated by the Mervis family, who are longtime members of the synagogue.
We'll actually take the ark and all the Judaica that goes along with it, the Torahs, and anything else that will make it look like a synagogue, and we'll turn this space into a synagogue.
But the congregation will be meeting without a rabbi for the foreseeable future. An out-of-town rabbi had been leading services for Congregation Israel about nine times a year, but Ehrlich says that work will be turned over to lay members who have the necessary training. Congregation Israel's final services at its synagogue on East Ridgeview Street will be held on the weekend of October 12th. For more details, check out the story on our website, will.illinois.edu. A new report from the Illinois Inspector General says a South Suburban mayor was shorting one of his two government jobs. Tony Arnold has this report.
The Inspector General had this tough question. How could the mayor of Riverdale do his city job while also on the clock for his other job in state government? Mayor Dayon Dean was elected in 2009, but kept his job with the state's Department of Human Services. The report found Dean used his state email address and computer for campaign work and attended a conference called "Congratulations, You've Been Elected, Now What Do You Do?" without taking time off. Andy Shaw is with the Better Government Association. He says this so-called double-dipping should be banned.
Something is always going to suffer. One group of taxpayers is always going to be cheated when you do two government jobs.
Mayor Dean resigned from his state job in August after the Inspector General's investigation. In a statement, he says he stands for re-election next year and wants to devote his days and evenings to the village of Riverdale. I'm Tony Arnold.
An environmental group wants a federal judge to compel the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to explain what issues the governmental agency has with southwestern Illinois' Mississippi River levees. The lawsuit on the American Bottom Conservancy's behalf alleges the Army Corps failed to reply to the group's open records requests about what the Corps says are deficiencies in the levees. The lawsuit contends the Army Corps questions whether levees can handle a flood so big it has only a 1% chance of happening in a year. The distinction is important because it's the Federal Emergency Management Agency's threshold for classifying an area high risk or not. Levee officials say a high risk designation could saddle property owners with higher unaffordable insurance rates. An Army Corps spokesman declined to discuss the matter today. In sports, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves face off shortly after 4 o'clock today in a win-or-go-home National League wildcard playoff game at Turner Field. The winner will advance to face the Washington Nationals in the best-of-five National League Division Series, which starts on Sunday. The Braves won 5 of 6 games against the Cardinals during the regular season. The Cards plan to hand the ball to Kyle Loesch. He went 16-3 this season with a 2.86 ERA. Such stats are impressive, but pale in comparison to those of Braves starter Chris Medlin, who was 10-1 this year and undefeated as a starter. In fact, Atlanta has won 23 straight games that Medlin has started, dating back to 2010. In college football action this weekend, Illinois is on the road to face Wisconsin tomorrow at 2:30. Both the Illini and the Badgers are looking for their first conference wins after dropping their Big Ten openers last week. Wisconsin suffered a 30-27 loss at Nebraska, while Illinois was beaten 35-7 by Penn State. The Badgers have won 3 straight over the Illini in Madison and 6 of the last 7 matchups overall. You can find more news anytime at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.